Well, Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you, God, that we're here in your presence. God, we thank you that we are your children, we're your people, we're your church, and that you are for us. We declare even this morning as we go to your word that Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're the Savior of the world. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we have come to our Heavenly Father through you and you alone. And we turn to you now at this time. We look to your word and we say, make us alive in these realities for your glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to be continuing our sermon series that's titled Assurance That You May Know. Again, it's our expository verse by verse, precept upon precept, amazing journey through the book of 1 John. How many of you have been enjoying this journey through it? Okay, hands up. Awesome. Awesome. If your hand didn't go up, I'll come by later and anyway, I'll be gentle. Last week, we talked about the assurance of living forever. And we have this assurance of living forever. Why? Because we love God and not the world. That's what Scripture told us in 1 John chapter 2 last week. Our love for God gives us the assurance of living forever. And obviously the only way and the only reason we even can love God is because he first loved us and he made us new again in Christ Jesus and gave us the ability to turn our lives to him and to walk with him in the light now and forever. This morning, we're going to keep journeying. We're going to look at the remainder of 1 John chapter 2. And here's what we run into. We run into another assurance. Now, are you ready for the title of today's message? All right. It's one of those that will get your attention. The title of today's message is The Assurance of the Antichrist. Whoa! All right. I got some reaction. The Assurance of the Antichrist. That's the topic. That's the title. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we finish up the second chapter of 1 John. So let's dive right back into Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Dear children, now he's talking to those of us devoted to Jesus. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. And again, God knows how to get our attention, doesn't he? That's what I love about Scripture. That's what I love about studying Scripture expositorily, going through verse by verse, not just picking a topic that we want to look for in Scripture and pull out different pieces to try to pull together something, a message that we want to hear from God. But as we go through verse by verse, we get these passages that just cause us to sit up straight and go, whoa! Wasn't expecting to hear that this morning. So there won't be any nodding off this morning because you don't know what's going to come out next. Now, when we hear this term Antichrist, images of the devil incarnate begin to fill our minds. Right? Red, pointy horns, pitchfork, pure evil. You know what I'm talking about? That one whose appearance precedes the end of the world is described in 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 3 and 4. You can look that up later. Read about this Antichrist. However, the Antichrist that John is speaking of in this passage is much less ominous and much more common. What we are about to discover is that John defines the Antichrist as those who are opposed to Jesus. It's really that simple. John employs this law of non-contradiction to make this point. And here's what this law of non-contradiction is. It means that two antithetical propositions cannot both be true at the same time and in the same sense. What does that mean? It means that X cannot be non-X. And a thing cannot be and not be simultaneously. Again, this is the law of non-contradiction. And so John is saying this: you are either for Christ or you're against him. It's another one of the either-or propositions or realities that we find from God's Word. We talked about one of those last week. You either love God or you love the world. There's nothing in between. And it can't be a both and there's no middle road to that. The same thing we find this morning, another either-or statement and reality from God. And that is that you are either for Christ or you are against him. We either believe that Jesus is the perfect, sinless, fully divine, fully human Son of God who died in our place to pay the penalty of our sin, to redeem us for eternal glory with the Father. We either believe that or we don't believe that. Again, one or the other. There's no middle ground. This is where the rubber meets the road. There's no room for negotiation. It's one or the other. Again, the Apostle John simplifies things, and I've been sharing that with you a lot, that I appreciate that about John's writing and about the way that the Holy Spirit uses him to just get down to the brass tacks of the Christian life and to make it very simple. And he points out, again, everyone is either pro-Christ or, as he says here, anti-Christ. Anyone who rejects Jesus outright or denies his divinity by denying that he is indeed the Christ is an anti-Christ. That's what John has said. And John tells us that there are many who fall into this category. Now, most antichrists don't perform these spectacular, terrifying, demonic rituals. Rather, they simply deny Jesus. They walk away. And we're going to discover this in verse 19 here in just a little bit. Furthermore, we're going to see John declaring that the working of the spirit of the Antichrist is going to actually intensify, become much more evident and much more dramatic the closer that we get to the end of the age. And I don't know about you, but I believe we are seeing this spirit of the Antichrist definitely intensify in our time right now. I mean, you look around us. You look at what has just happened in the last year or two in our nation. It's been declared and all but agreed to already now that we are no longer a nation under Christ anymore, a Christian nation, that we're a post-Christian nation now. Well, what does that mean? We're a post-Christ nation is what that is saying. It means that we're an anti-Christ nation. Let's just be real about it. We're a secular nation. Secularism, is that pro-Christ or anti-Christ? We talked about this last week. Creating a world apart from God for your own purposes, trying to impact and create your own happiness. This goes hand in hand with the spirit of the Antichrist. And John is saying it's here, it's intensifying, and many are participating in this. There are many Antichrists who are already here. I believe that we're seeing the intensity skyrocket around the world as people are given every permission to elevate and celebrate every name except the name of Jesus. I mean, think about it. You can go on television before or after a sporting event if you're a professional athlete, and you can elevate anything. And you can be celebrated for elevating anything and any name. But when you bring up the name of Jesus, all hell breaks loose, literally. All hell breaks loose because there is a battle going on between the Antichrist spirit and the Spirit of God. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. And so we are seeing at a rapid rate this spirit of the Antichrist intensifying in our land today. It's just happening, and Scripture said that it would. I think of those who would take a knee for Jesus, those professional athletes that would dare take a knee for Jesus. They're mocked. You have other professional athletes today taking a knee for so many other reasons that are not righteous, that don't bring unity, don't honor those who've gone before them, and they're celebrated. Again, we see this battle that's going on, and we battle not against flesh and blood. It's not about the people, the individual themselves. They're not the enemy. It goes back to this battle that's happening in the spirit realm between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The spirit of God and the spirit of this air of this world that's very real and that's occurring. We talked about and prayed into the fires that have happened with these apartment complexes. The one last night, the one a few months ago. What's going on with that? Things are intensifying. It's happening. And again, Scripture said that it would. Let's look at the real meaning of the term Antichrist. The word Christ is from the Greek word Christos, which exactly corresponds to the Hebrew word Mashiach. And this word is the word that we use to get Messiah. And so what we find here is that when we say Antichrist, what we're really meaning and saying is anti-Messiah. That is what Antichrist means. It means anti-Messiah. And anti is a Greek preposition that has two meanings. And both of the meanings of this Greek preposition anti apply to what we're talking about here and to what John is presenting, as many antichrists have already come. The first meaning of this preposition anti is against. So the first action is against Messiah. Antichrist, against Messiah. The second meaning of anti is in place of. And so what we find then is the ultimate purpose, this Antichrist or anti-Messiah purpose, is to put something or someone in place of the Messiah, in place of Jesus. And so we see that the total operation really has two phases. Again, number one, to be against Jesus. And then number two, the second phase of this Antichrist operation is to put someone, something in the place of Jesus, the Messiah. When we begin to recognize this, then we see that the spirit of the Antichrist is extremely active in the world today. And we even see it sometimes in the church, putting things, people in place of Messiah. And so we return to Scripture. Let's go back. 1 John 2. Let's answer this question. Who are these antichrists? We have the assurance of the antichrist. It'd probably be good that we know. Who are these antichrists? The Apostle John is going to give us three identifiers of the antichrist. The first one is this. Number one, the antichrists are those who depart from the fellowship. How many of you are hanging with me on this morning, with this scripture here? All right? This is important stuff. We live in the world. We can look at this and go, well, how does this really apply to my life? Oh, this applies to your life. Because the spirit of the Antichrist is here, and he is wanting to rob, kill, and destroy. And we need to be able to identify those spiritual forces that are at work around us so that we can counter those with the Spirit of God. So it's important that we understand this stuff. This is in Scripture. This is one of the last letters, the last pieces of Scripture that were written and given to us by the Holy Spirit. Again, back in 90 AD, the Apostle Paul had already been with the Lord in heaven for 20 years. By this time. Okay, so important stuff. Number one, the antichrists are those who depart from the fellowship. Verse 18 again, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Amen. These people that are being identified here in this passage of Scripture are the ones that were also mentioned just a few verses earlier, who at one point had fellowship with God, had fellowship with the body of Christ, the church, but decided to love the world instead of loving God, and they actually walked away from that fellowship with God. This choice ultimately uncovered in them the spirit of the Antichrist, that they were of the Antichrist. You see, in choosing to love the world, they've left the fellowship of the believers because they were no longer following Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the only way, the only truth, the only life. But instead, they were following their own plans, their own desires, like we talked about last week, and attempting to create and control that happiness outside of God. They were loving the world, and love for the world is the spirit of the Antichrist at work, putting something or someone in the place of the Messiah. And when these people left the presence of God in exchange for fitting in with the world, they also left the fellowship of the saints. They left the church. Because the church is the gathering of the saints, those who are walking with Christ in the light, pursuing Christ. The church is not just all of those who say, "I'm a Christian." That's not the church. It's not a club. It's not a sticker, "I voted today," or "I'm a Christian today" type thing. The church are those people that have surrendered their lives to Christ, who are truly walking in the new birth that they have in Christ. And they're, as John said, walking in the light as he is in the light. They gnosko God. They know him. We talked about that a few weeks ago also. This is the church. And so when people walk away from walking with Christ and they no longer follow him and walk with him in the light, but they wake up in the morning and they follow their own plans and purposes and desires and the things of the world, they're now walking in a different fellowship, is what we find in Scripture. And again, this is important because this is how we know, and we need to know. As people, we tend to fall for this trap of putting your fingers in your ears and over your eyes and la, 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 "I can't hear and I can't see. I just want to be fat, dumb, and happy, and I just want to feel good." Meanwhile, you have really no clue or assurance of who you are or where you're going. This is why John wrote this letter. So that we get our fingers out of our ears and off of our eyes and look at the reality of the beauty, the glory, the marvel of walking with Jesus, really doing life with him, and how in doing that we can have assurance. I can tell you this, as I've been going through every week this whole book, and as I've been studying and diving in and processing it myself, I have found I still have issues in my life. I still fall short. In areas, I will still say things that I will regret and do things that I will regret. But as I look in the face of truth, in the face of Scripture, what I have is an assurance that while I will fall and while I will fall short, I am walking with Jesus. I am setting my heart and my mind on him. I am listening to him. I'm spending time with him. And so I have these assurances. And one of those was the assurance of an advocate that we talked about 2 weeks ago. I have these assurances. And so we need to get our hands off of our eyes, and we need to see clearly the new life that we have. This is what this is, the new life that we're blessed with. And we need to hear clearly the word of God, so that we can walk in it and enjoy it and then lead other people into it. Because God wants people to walk in the light with him, to not be beat up by the world and not be pulled away by this Antichrist spirit that will rob, kill, and destroy. Love for the world and the spirit of the Antichrist go hand in hand. We very clearly see that.
all throughout chapter 2 of 1 John. Now, if you have a loved one who has departed from the fellowship with God, and subsequently then fellowship with the people of God, with the church, I want to encourage you to pray for them. And I want to encourage you to join other believers who are doing that very thing. And just as we were intercessors earlier in the service, praying for our community, praying safety over our community because of these recent fires that we've had here in Gilbert, when we gather together and we come into agreement together as the people of God, it's very powerful. And we have an amazing group of people that gather every Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the prayer room. And they have a prayer meeting that's called Prayer for the Lost and the Prodigals. And they've been doing this for over 4 years. It's probably almost 5 years now, maybe over 5 years now. And they've been very committed to this. And they have seen dozens upon dozens of people who were falling away, walking away, getting pulled away by this antichrist spirit and this love for the world, returning to relationship with God through Christ Jesus. People coming back to life in Christ, into fellowship with their Lord and Savior. And I want to encourage you, if you have loved ones, friends, neighbors, join Sean, join Peggy, join this Tuesday, 5 o'clock, Prayer for the Lost and the Prodigals group, and believe and watch God move in people's lives. This group of amazing brothers and sisters prayed for my grandfather for several years. And this is a man that was so wrapped up in the Antichrist spirit all of his life, so wrapped up in the love for this world, and I will create my own happiness, and I'm strong enough, smart enough, and wealthy enough to do it. I thought, wow, it will take a miracle, and a miracle happened as the people of God prayed for breakthrough, and the Lord led people into his life that spoke truth, the gospel, and he responded to the love of Christ just months before passing away. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy. Another identifier of those who are opposed to Jesus. Number two, the antichrists are those who deny that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 22, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. There's an assurance right there. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Assurance, assurance, assurance. John further underscores this truth in chapter 4, verse 2, where he says of the same book, he says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Again, that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. So we see that these antichrists, those operating with the spirit of the antichrist, they don't deny the existence of God. They don't. In fact, they embrace it. They celebrate it. And in fact, many of them claim to be God's representatives. But here's the issue. But what they do deny is the relationship of the Father and the Son within the Godhead. They deny and selectively skew the divinity of the Son, of Jesus, is what they're doing. That's the Antichrist. And many fall in to this category. The Antichrists are many. Because of this, because of denying and selectively skewing what? The divinity of Jesus. Not the existence of God, but the divinity of Jesus. Those who are Antichrist believe and they promote that there are many ways to heaven. Many ways to be saved. But Jesus says this. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I alone am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. That's the reality. The Antichrist spirit says, no, there are other ways. God makes provision. He works it out different ways for different people.
But church, we can't get caught up in this because that's not truth. That's not what God has said. That's what man has developed because of their brokenness and in their attempt to be God themselves. You see, we can't get caught up in today's pluralistic society and the universalism that we find that's going on. So many worldviews have been infused with this universalism, this coexist. You see those bumper stickers all over the place. Coexist. I say, yes, we need to love one another. But it's only through Christ Jesus that we're saved. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And no one is saved. No one finds heaven and eternity with God apart from Jesus. He's it. These other ways are laced with this dangerous message of tolerance. And it sounds so sweet, doesn't it? It sounds so kind and merciful. These well-meaning messages of tolerance, and many, including many Christians, find themselves believing and declaring that there is salvation for those who deny that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what happens when we embrace this tolerance. In doing so, they're actually promoting an antichrist means of salvation. It's an antichrist means of salvation. And the Apostle Peter firmly declared this. It's found in Acts 4. Verse 12, this is one of his messages that he was preaching at the time. He said, salvation is found in no one else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other way. And people go, well, that's awfully exclusive. God made a way. God made one way for all people. It's not exclusive. For God so loved the world that He made a way. He made one way for everybody. That's not exclusive. It's for all people who would call upon the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one way, the only way, the truth, the life. He has not been exclusive. He's opened it up for all. In fact, Christ is even delaying His return because He has opened it up for all, saying, please come, please come, please come. Walk in the way, the truth. Walk in Jesus. You see, God's Word is clearly stated in this passage in verse 22 that we just read of 1 John 2, that anyone who says that there is another way denies God and is a liar. Not just a little misinformed, but actually a liar. So this is an absolute. There's no wiggle room in this. There isn't. And this isn't about a pastor or Christians trying to say, you see, we got it right and you got it wrong. You know what? I had it wrong in my life at one point. We all had it wrong at one point in our lives. And the only reason is by the grace and the mercy of God and because others shared with us this truth that we now have this assurance of eternal life in Christ. Jesus alone is the way. And those who deny Jesus are of the Antichrist. What does this mean? Well, there are many faiths. I'm just going to say it because the world won't say it. But we have to say it. If we don't speak truth, then what are we doing? I mean, people need to know the truth. And there are many faiths, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, frankly, most Mormons, that while well-meaning, they're missing Jesus. They're missing the Son of God. That member of the Godhead, the Trinity, God Himself in the Son, Jesus Christ. They're missing Him. And therefore, they're missing God altogether. So instead of doing theological gymnastics in an attempt to create some other means of salvation for these precious people that God loves and we love too, what do we need to do? We need to be sharing Christ with them. That's what we need to be doing. Not creating ways of trying to make people feel okay. No. The only way they're going to feel okay now and forever is in Christ Jesus. They need to know Jesus. The worst thing that we can do is
pat them on the head and say, oh, everything's going to be okay. We come alongside of them in love, in relationship, in friendship, in sincerity. We walk with them. We talk with them. We serve them. And we share truth with them. And we speak the name of Jesus to them. This is the kindest, most loving thing that we can do with anyone that we come in contact with. We have to abandon the cultural and political correctness. We have to share biblical correctness with our neighbors. The world is lacking biblical correctness. They need it. And you're the ones who are going to share it with them. Amen? We have a group of people here in the church who frequently minister to people on the weekends here in downtown Gilbert, often on Saturday afternoons and evenings, sharing the love of Jesus with people, praying for people, hearing what's going on in their lives, asking them how they're doing. Do they have any needs or anything that they want prayer for? And sometimes they say, nah, I'm busy. But other times they're going to share their heart, and they do. And we have people in this church that then get to share the love of Christ with them as they pray for them, as they declare God's love and His truth over their lives, as they invite the people then into a relationship with Jesus to know Him, to find that peace that passes all understanding, that will truly guard their hearts and their minds, to find that real purpose and meaning that's only found in Christ and in Christ alone. And if you're interested in participating in that, it's not some kind of, you know, let's go run them over, you know, and thump them on the head with the Bible. It's just very organic and natural. It's people talking to people and loving people. And Don, you were up here earlier, but would you raise your hand again? Don Shrine, he's one of our elders here at the church. And Don leads that group of amazing people. And you can contact Don. Just go up and talk with him and tell him you're interested. Give him your contact information. And get your sharing on with people. They need Jesus. Finally, the third identifier of those opposed to Jesus. Number three, the Antichrist are those who would deceive the anointed. The Antichrist are those who would deceive the anointed. Verse 26, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. That's a theme of John, isn't it? As you go back to the gospel that he wrote to, remain in Jesus. Remain in who you are in Christ. Remain and walk in the anointing that you now have in, through, and because of Christ Jesus. And I want us to take notice of something. John is reminding the church that we have received an anointing. Okay? It's been given to us. Jesus sent the church the Holy Spirit so that we might be anointed, so that we might be baptized in Him. Baptized, anointed in the Holy Spirit, in God. That's what Jesus gave us, the church. And John's reminding us of this anointing and to walk in it and to remain in that anointing and to have the assurance of the anointing and all that that anointing, that baptism in the Holy Spirit brings us as the people of God. This anointing is the very presence of God moving in and through our lives. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it declares that this anointing that we have from God, this very baptism, the filling that we have of God in our life, actually breaks the yoke. It breaks the yoke. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives breaks this yoke of slavery, this yoke of sin, this yoke of the world, this yoke of the Antichrist spirit that's coming and bombarding us day in and day out. This anointing of the Spirit, the very presence of God that's living in us and through us, breaks the power of all of those things. It's not our fancy words, our fancy prayers. It's not what we call ourselves. It's the very presence, the anointing, the baptism of the Spirit within us that breaks the power of every antichrist spirit, every antichrist assignment, every antichrist lie, everything that would oppose itself against us. It's the anointing of God. It's the gift that He's given us. That John is saying, remember it, remain in it. That means walk your life in it and with it all the time. So understanding just how amazing the anointing of God is, it's no wonder that the spirit of the Antichrist wars against the anointed. That's what he tries to do. He tries to deceive us, to lead us astray, because he knows that a church, a people that are walking in the fullness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God, this anointing of God that's breaking the yokes, not in their own lives, but in the yokes that have been placed in and around and on their family members, their neighbors, their very community that they live in, that the Antichrist spirit says, no, we've got to stop them. We've got to deceive them. We've got to tell them that this anointing isn't real. That it's just theological. It's just some happy thoughts. And that you just need to just go to church and then on Monday just get busy with life again and pay your bills and run your kids all around everywhere and then just go back to church and just settle for that life. That's what the Antichrist spirit tells the church. But John is saying, church, wake up. You are those who are anointed. You are those that are filled with the very presence of God. And that anointing breaks every single yoke. Walk in it. Walk in it. Again, who wins the war, by the way? The anointed, right? Those who are anointed win the war, and we're not deceived because we have God's word that reminds us and that exposes the lies and the tactics of the enemy. Amen. God's truth remains in us so that we might remain in Christ. Church, it's so important that you're in the Word of God on a regular basis. Right here, the Antichrist spirit is trying to deceive us, trying to rob from us. And the way that we prevent that is we stay grounded in the truth of the fact that we are the children of God and we are those that have been anointed, baptized in Him. Francis Schaeffer asked the question, how then shall we live? I believe the question God has for His church today is this. How then will you respond to this Antichrist culture of the day? Again, I believe that's the question that God has for us right now. How then will you respond to this Antichrist culture of the day? We're here for a purpose. It's no accident that you're here right now, in this time, alive in God. How will we respond to this? The Apostle John pushes us in the right direction of what our response should be. Verse 28, and now, dear children, continue in Him, remain in Jesus, so that when He appears, do you see that again? So that when He appears, who's going to appear? Jesus. Jesus is coming back. This is the reality. Having this understanding, living out of this reality day in and day out, man, it will motivate us. It will keep us on the straight and narrow because we're excited, not because we're afraid, but because we're excited because our bridegroom, Christ Jesus, is coming back. Our Savior is returning to make all things new. He's coming back for us. It will motivate us. And because we also know that He is returning, we know those that don't know Him, we're motivated to share Him with others. Because when He appears, it says, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. Back to the title of today's message, The Assurance of the Antichrist. Yes, we have the assurance of the Antichrist. He is coming and many are already here. But we choose to live in the assurance of the anointing. Amen. We choose to live in the assurance of the
anointing. Therefore, we shine brighter and brighter for Jesus because we're living in the assurance of the anointing. We're battling against the spirit of the Antichrist because we're living filled with the Spirit of God Himself. We remain in Him. We get filled up with Him. We can't get enough of Him. We love Him so much. And then we allow Him to fill us, and then we begin to release Him, His love, His power, His grace, every single place we go, every room that we're invited into. We release the anointing that God has given us. We bring hope to the hopeless. We bring salvation to the lost. We bring Jesus. Let's stand up.